Right now, as we continue talking, we have had a primary election that did come down, and we've got to get into what's been happening in terms of local politics. And there are a lot of things happening right now. We want to let you know about it. Specifically, in terms of the primaries, it's the most obvious thing that occurred on Tuesday. And the results of those elections have left us with a lot of questions about our political parties and adapting to new political maps. But what's more, it appears that Michigan's minimum wage and paid sick leave policies will change significantly in about the next 7 months. To talk about all of this, we have Craig Mauger here with us. Craig covers state government and politics for the Detroit News. Craig Mauger, welcome to Detroit Today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, I mean, it's very important to discuss a lot of things happening here in Michigan, and I do want to get into what's going on with the minimum wage. But before we get into the court decision that could have a big effect on that, I just want to touch on the primaries with you. What do you think of Tudor Dixon winning the primary? Why do you think that she won, and what does it say about Michigan Republicans in this state?
I think it says pretty loudly and clearly that Michigan Republicans are focused on trying to unseat Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, talking to voters over the last 2 weeks across the state, a lot of them may not have even known how to correctly pronounce Tudor Dixon's name. I heard from one who kept calling her Tudor Dillon. But they believed, from what they had been able to collect, that she was the best candidate that gave them the best chance to go against Governor Whitmer. I mean, I talked to a bunch of voters at the polls who I said, what brought you out today? And they said, I want to get Governor Whitmer out of office. And that's what's driving these Republican primary voters right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because that's kind of the reverse effect of what happened 4 years ago, right, when we were looking at who would take on or who we were going to put up in terms of, I should say, 2 years ago. And when we were looking at who we were going to take on Trump with, a lot of people were thinking about that with Biden. So a lot of strategic decisions there. But is there anything else that the primary told you outside of that top line race that you were really looking at and found interesting?
Yeah, I think if you look at the turnout numbers from Tuesday, more than 2 million people cast ballots in a primary election that did not have a lot of competitive races on it. I think that number is something to watch. It shows the enthusiasm that's out there on both sides right now. Yeah. I think you can expect a huge turnout in November. There's going to be massive attention on this race in Michigan, and I think we're going to see a campaign over the next 3 months, unlike anything we've seen in a gubernatorial election in Michigan before.
There are a lot of animating things going on right now, specifically stuff related to amending the Constitution, about protecting women's right to choice and bodily autonomy. People, obviously, as you've spoken about with Tudor Dixon, worried about trying to defeat Gretchen Whitmer in the fall as well. A lot of things happening in politics. But another thing that you've been reporting on is what's happening in terms of courts and court decisions specifically related to minimum wage. Can you let us know what's going on right now with Michigan's minimum wage? Will it be changing anytime soon?
This is the underlying story that is brewing and that could impact millions of people, business owners, employees, families across this state. As it stands right now, a judge has ruled that two initiated laws that were amended by Republican lawmakers in 2018 should take effect in February. And why are these laws significant? Well, they're significant because they could, the key word is could, immediately increase the state's minimum wage, which is currently $9.87 an hour, to $12 an hour. That's a massive jump. And they could also expand paid sick leave requirements for businesses across Michigan, and they could really hike the minimum wage for tipped workers. Currently in the state, if you work at a restaurant and you make tips, your minimum wage is under $4 an hour because of the money you make on top of it from tips. This initiated law that could be revived under these court rulings would jump that up to the standard minimum wage, potentially $12 an hour, if this takes effect.
The reason this law was even in court was because there was a lawsuit about how it became or it came about in the first place, going all the way back to when there was a ballot initiative and the outgoing administration, or I should say the outgoing members of the House in Michigan modified the law. Can you take us back to the beginning on how we even got to this place in relation to minimum wage and how this lawsuit started out?
Yeah, what a winding road has led us here. But it's somewhat like a football game that's coming down to the last 2 minutes, and both teams have powerful offenses, and one team decides we'll let our opponent score a touchdown just to give us enough time at the end of the game to go down and try to get a winning touchdown. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. That's what happened here. There were two initiated proposals that were being circulated in Michigan, one to increase the sick leave requirements, one to hike the minimum wage. They had enough signatures to get on the ballot. The way the law works in Michigan is the legislature has the ability to approve these and keep them off the ballot. Republican lawmakers looked at these two measures ahead of the pivotal 2018 election and said these two are going to pass. What can we do about this? What they did is they adopted the measures before Election Day, keeping them off the ballot. And in doing so, they gave themselves the ability to return after Election Day and amend them in the lame duck session. So these two very aggressive increases in paid sick leave and minimum wage were changed in December of 2018 to really delay and dampen what they were trying to do. And Rick Snyder, then governor, signed off on this, and this became the law of the land. So just kind of as one example, under the initiated petition, the minimum wage was going to increase to $12 an hour by 2022, the year we're in now. Under what the Republican lawmakers crafted and put in place, the increase went to $12 an hour in 2030. That's quite a significant difference. And what happened is this legal battle played out afterwards, whether the Republican legislature should have been able to do this. And judges are now saying, one judge has said they shouldn't have been able to. They violated the Constitution. And now he says they need to put into place the original initiated proposal.
When you go about the process of putting a ballot initiative on, the legislation has an opportunity to, once it makes it to the ballot, they can either adopt it, they can refuse to adopt it, and then it goes to the ballot, or they can put their own proposal up, and then both are on the ballot and let the voters choose between the two. In this case, as you mentioned, they adopted it, but then after the election decided to change it in that lame duck session, leading to where we're at right now. So you have this case going through the courts, and the attorney general at the time said, hey, we think it can work. And previously, a prior attorney general thought you couldn't do things like that when it came to the Michigan Constitution, leading to a judge making this determination, as you mentioned right now. But where are we at moving forward? Are there going to be appeals here? Has anyone told you what could be happening moving forward in this case?
I mean, there's going to be a massive legal battle that continues all the way up to the state Supreme Court. But many people believe that ultimately the courts are going to say what the legislature did was unconstitutional. I mean, we have a Democratic nominated majority on the state Supreme Court. Attorney General Dana Nessel has been aggressively fighting to get the laws that the legislature put in place unraveled and repealed. So, you know, the cards are somewhat stacked against the Republican controlled legislature, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association. But at the same time, these groups are arguing that if these minimum wage increases are thrown out there right now, it's going to lead to huge economic problems for them at a time of inflation, already having staffing shortages, dealing with the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. These are all things that Michigan's businesses are still struggling with.
You know, it's interesting, though, Craig. The reason we're even here is because of the attempted alteration of the bill in the first place, right? So to the extent that it would cause an immediate impact, I mean, that wasn't originally contemplated. Have anyone thought about the ability to, perhaps through legislation, smooth over the increase so it wouldn't just jump from 9 to 12 as a result of this judicial opinion if it were to go in effect in February?
It's a fascinating question, and actually it has been brought up in the court filing. The state of Michigan has attorneys, essentially, the state of Michigan is on both sides of this case. There is a group of attorneys that are fighting the lawsuits to challenge the laws, And those attorneys have said in 2018, even the ballot proposal language would have phased in the increases over a period of years. And they have suggested that potentially if the courts go forward with unraveling what the legislature did, that they should maybe phase in again, just down the road, what the ballot proposals were trying to do. So instead of phasing in over a period that ended in 2022, maybe it would phase in over a period that ends in 2026. It's an interesting argument, but you would essentially then have a judge writing this law that affects so many people.
It's a fascinating situation we're in here and a fascinating time to be living in Michigan. And we want to hear from you about it out there as we speak to Craig Mauger of the Detroit News. What do you make of this situation? Are you excited about the prospect of an increase in the minimum wage and the institution of a paid sick leave policy in the state? Or what do you think the minimum wage should be in the state? What kind of paid leave policies do you think we should have? And how about with politics, where we're at right now? What do you make of Trump's impact on Michigan politics? What are you thinking about the results of the primaries? Give us a call, 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. And when we continue here on Detroit Today, we will hear from you and we will continue speaking with you, Craig, about what's going on in Michigan politics.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 101.9 WDET,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we speak with Craig Mauger of the Detroit News about recent happenings in Michigan, specifically potential changes to minimum wage and paid sick leave. It could potentially be increasing to $12 as a result of a court decision following an attempt by the outgoing Republican administration, outgoing Republican Congress in Michigan to change a law, a ballot initiative that would have gradually increased the minimum wage. So that puts us in this situation right now where we could be looking at a big jump, and we want to hear from you. 313-577-1019. Are you a business owner? Are you a worker? How would this affect your day-to-day and your operations? We want to know. Give us a call. 313-577-1019, as Lucy in Detroit did. Lucy, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I actually co-founded Rose's Fine Food on the east side of Detroit with my cousin, Molly Mitchell, almost 2 years ago. And we started the restaurant based on the premise that we would pay people well above the minimum wage, even tipped workers, because the writing on the wall at that time, even 10 years ago, was such that, you know, we have to start building our businesses with the idea that we get a dignified wage. Done a lot of work through Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan and the RAISE movement to try to, you know, work with, in Congress and all these different areas. Basically, my comment is that if you have a business that hasn't been doing these practices for a while already, and you're just kind of paying people an exploitative wage and that's how your business runs, then you don't have a viable business, and that's capitalism. And a lot of the people making noise about it right now are the ones that only want to pay tipped servers, you know, $3 to $5 an hour.
Lucy, so, you make a wonderful
them, I guess.
You make a wonderful point. Sometimes I wonder about if your business isn't profitable, maybe the business is not operating or is not in a market where there's actually a demand for that product if you can't make it on the margins. Is your business able to, are you still able to turn a profit with the what you do in terms of paying your own servers and people above that minimum wage? Are you still turning a profit with your business?
I'm not in the business anymore personally, but my cousin Molly that runs it, yes, she's been doing this, like I said, for almost 10 years. And you know, it is hard to run a small business no matter what kind of business you're in. But again, keeping employees means taking care of them. And, you know, your turnover is not as high, and there's, like, actually a lot of benefits to paying people more. It's just really, yeah, it's totally doable. There's ways to do it. You just have to build it into your business model up front. And if that means being dynamic and switching some of the things you do in your business, which I know Molly's done over the years, then, you know, yeah, she's made it work. And people at Rosa's make, you know, almost $20 an hour. Yeah. So, it's totally possible.
I really appreciate your insight, especially as someone who has operated and had to deal with this issue, Lucy. Thanks so much for calling with that point. Really do appreciate it. Craig, what have you been hearing it from business owners related to this? Anything similar to Lucy, or are they coming out on the other side?
I think it's definitely an example of the push and pull that's happening right here. The businesses want to have a predictable regulatory environment, where, you know, the minimum wage doesn't jump multiple dollars an hour suddenly because of a court decision. I mean, they are arguing that, all right, even if you want to put this policy in place, that's not the way to do it. The individuals on the other side of this, however, have argued, and this is an argument that definitely deserves attention, that if the courts are going to say what the legislature did was unconstitutional, then there are workers across the state of Michigan who have illegally had this money withheld from their paychecks because of what the legislature did. It's not the business's fault.
Right.
It was the legislature doing something that was not constitutional in their mind. So, I mean, those are the two arguments here, and you can have some sympathy for both arguments.
Yeah, now this is an excellent point you made there, Craig. I appreciate that. As we move now to Sue and Warren. Sue, you're next on Detroit Today.
Yes, I just wanted to say this is all a moot point. To me, this is just like debating how many angels will dance on the head of a pin, because the market now demands $15 an hour, and if you don't pay it, you can't get anyone to work for you. Just look around. I wouldn't work for less than $15. Unless you don't have a car and have to walk, nobody will work for less than $15 an hour. And that is why businesses are not getting people.
Yeah, thank you for your point, Sue. And we have been seeing that people have had difficulty finding employment. Go ahead, Craig. I know you had a point on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she makes a really interesting point that is part of this, is that wages have been kind of going up somewhat naturally because of what is happening with the workforce shortages and how low unemployment is right now. And, you know, I don't have the data on how many people this is going to impact. I know when they were looking at the paid sick leave requirements in 2018, the analysts were saying that would impact potentially a million workers in the state of Michigan who were employed by businesses that had 50 or fewer workers, in terms of the change the Republican lawmakers made. Whether all of those million people already had sick leave that was kind of voluntarily offered by their businesses or not, we don't know. But, you know, I think the point that she's making is a valid one.
Yeah.
And it's something that I would love to see more data on.
Craig, you got to help me out here, and maybe you don't even know, right? Outside of my friends calling me cheap all of the time, and, you know, I love business owners, I do, and I want restaurants to be profitable, and I love servers, but I logically do not understand why we're allowed to pay one group of people at one rate and somehow the other not at the same rate if there's a quote-unquote minimum wage. Even if all of a sudden, as a result, tipping just became something that became the norm, I don't know how it got worked into policy. Is there any discussion about that issue in terms of just the ability to tax people at different rates or getting out of that model that we came into?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a major legislative point of debate for many years. And the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, I mean, this is one of their main issues. They have fought and opposed any effort to try to make the tipped minimum wage mirror the standard minimum wage. I mean, that has been a focus of that organization. They have argued in this issue with this court case that if the courts suddenly bumped up the tipped minimum wage to $12 an hour, that would be catastrophic for restaurants in the state. It is a major point of contention. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get the ability, if you're a business and you can offload your salary requirements on your paying customers, well, then I guess go on and bless you for it. But I want to move on to David in Royal Oak, who wants to discuss what's going on in terms of the state of Michigan, Trump and Tudor Dixon. David, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hello.
Hi.
I believe, a question was asked whether we listeners think that Trump is having an effect on the Michigan election, and I think absolutely. I think there's a difference between Trump forces and Republican forces, and Tudor Dixon had a massive influx of money from Trump, not necessarily Republican forces. Michigan, even though Republicans and former President Trump say that the states should, govern themselves, make laws for themselves, Michigan is being used through the influx of money from people like the DeVos family and also DART money to promote their own candidates, such as Tudor Dixon.
Sure. We have discussed a lot, David, and I do appreciate your call on money in politics and the effect that that can have. And a lot of that came through in the primaries. Craig, when it comes to money in politics, is there anything going on right now on how we could modify that in Michigan? Is it even a discussion? What have you been hearing and seeing related to that and David's point?
I mean, it has not been a topic of legislative banter in Lansing. I mean, essentially, we have record amounts of money flowing into all of our state elections, and the people who are running in those campaigns are fine with that right now. And David's point's valid, but it's on the Democratic side too. As a key battleground state, our elections have become nationalized. It has allowed Governor Whitmer to raise record amounts of money. She's raised millions of dollars from out-of-state donors who have, caught attention to what she's doing and want to support her work in a state where she's going to face a competitive race. So it's happening on both sides of the aisle. There are billionaires who are supporting Governor Whitmer's campaign as well. It's a little more evident with Tudor Dixon right now because of how large of a role those specific donors played in getting her through the primary.
Yeah, excellent point there. I appreciate your call, David. Wanted to make sure to get you in on that point. Thank you for your time. As we move now to Paul in Wayne. Paul, you're on Detroit Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Craig, Walter Pete Duro here. The government should not be meddling in the economy, but the legislature does a lot of that, whether it's minimum wage, whether it's, lodging taxes. Those get passed with bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate. The chamber, business leaders who generally support these lodging taxes are against minimum wage. It's like they want their cake and eat it too.
Paul, what I'm hearing from you is to the extent that both sides agree with it and they're the experts in their field, we should let them do what they want. If they say we don't want this increase in minimum wage and there's bipartisan support, then that's what we should do. They're the experts in the field. Craig, what are you hearing related to that? What do you have for Paul's point?
I think the point that he is making is one that's persisted for a long time, that, businesses should decide all of this for themselves and let the market decide. I mean, that's an argument that's been out there as well. I think it's unfortunate that in this primary race among the Republican gubernatorial candidates, this did not become a larger topic of debate. We don't really know right now where Tudor Dixon stands on the minimum wage. Where does she stand on paid sick leave requirements? She has voiced some level of support for sick leave, but we don't know how she exactly is going to go about that. And when you talk about the economy is supposed to be one of the core issues of this election, these are core economic issues that hopefully, are discussed and are at the forefront as Governor Whitmer and Tudor Dixon debate here in the next few months.
Right on, as it is Detroit Today here on 101.9 WDET. I got time for one last call. Aaron in Detroit, you're on Detroit Today. Aaron, go ahead with your point in Detroit.
Oh, Hi. Just wanted to chime in about the minimum wage debate. I just like to say that I really have no sympathy for businesses who claim that, like, oh, these increases will be detrimental to their businesses and they couldn't possibly do it. Having a business is a privilege, not a right. And if your business requires or relies on the exploitation of your workers, then you shouldn't have a business. You don't have a viable business or a profitable one if it requires that you exploit your workers. To me, it's basically an elevated form of slavery. So I have no sympathy for that. $12, $9 is like wages we should have had in the 90s. It's 2022.
Hey, Aaron, I appreciate your point. We're coming up on the end. I just want to give Craig 30 seconds to respond. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, the argument has resonates with lots of people in Michigan, and it's probably one of the reasons why the legislature decided not to let this go to the ballot in 2018.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time, Craig and Aaron in Detroit. Thank you again for calling, as this is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. The show is produced by Sam Corey, and our technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Tune in tomorrow when we'll talk to Zane Asher about her memoir, and how we find passion and success despite tragedy. That's our time here on Detroit Today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in.